You're going to hear, I'm going to talk about cornerstone and looking at Ephesians this morning and talking about Christ being our cornerstone and what it means for us to be the church. We're going to look at this idea this morning called redefining church. Because I think throughout time and over the years, we start to kind of forget about what exactly the church is, what the function of the church is, and what the goal of the church is. I'm not talking strictly about Chisholm. I'm talking about the church, God's people. What is the church? What is our job? What are we to do? And this morning, we're gonna talk through that real quickly, but I've got a little video. So Larry, if you want to grab the lights, I've got a little video just to get us started again this morning. Timeline of that video, you know, it's a few months old at this time, but I feel like it still fits so perfectly with what we're going to be sharing about this morning, because I think that with everything that's happened this last year, with, you know, everything, you know, getting canceled as it talked about, I think we've just kind of adopted this mentality at times that, well, you know what, if it doesn't work for me to go that morning, I guess it just got canceled, right? It just cancels, just kind of become something that's just a part of kind of our regular vocab, kind of the way we carry ourselves anymore. And I just want to remind you this morning, the church hasn't been canceled. There's nothing that can stop the church. There's nothing that can stop God's people from continuing to move forward and see his kingdom advance here on earth. I'm so excited for this morning. Are you guys excited for church this morning? All right, again, if you're a guest and it's your first time, or maybe it's been a while, you're joining us online, we are so excited that you are here with us this morning. For those of you who come regularly, I'm just as excited to see you as well. I love seeing everybody here have a church, and I know that, you know, we're still kind of in this weird season right now of, do I come, do I not come? Maybe this morning, if you're on the fence, maybe this will help encourage you. So I want to encourage you, if you're watching online today, please don't tune out. Please hang around and listen to the message that the Holy Spirit gave to me this morning for us. So, you know, I want to take some time and, as I said, have each of us reconsider what exactly the church is and what exactly the church isn't according to what we find in Scripture. Scripture gives us a very clear picture of what the church is and what the church is not. And so we're going to jump into that. But like I said, we've made mention, this last past year, 2020, and you know, eventually maybe we'll stop kind of using this as an illustration. But as of right now, it's pertinent. We're right in the middle of it. It's been crazy, right? We've seen many things canceled, from school being put online to sports being canceled to trips having to be canceled to businesses being shut down to people being laid off from work and all kinds of different things have happened over the course of the last, you know, about 10 months now almost at this point, since all this began in March last year. And they're strange times. But we've kind of learned a bunch of new words, or maybe I shouldn't say new words. They're words that maybe we knew before, but now they kind of have a different meaning to them than they did pre-COVID. And so I just want to just kind of talk us through a couple of these words to just kind of get our mind heading in the right direction this morning. A couple of buzzwords we're going to look at this morning. So like before March, say 15th last year or so, if you heard the word pandemic, what did you think of? Right? What did you think of? Right? A lot of people didn't really even really know what a pandemic was, or maybe they thought of there was a movie called Pandemic that was literally about a virus outbreak, and it's actually, if you watch it, it's kind of eerily similar to kind of everything that we're walking through right now. But that's one of those words that maybe we had no idea what pandemic was, or it had kind of a definition, but the word pandemic has totally changed anymore. We hear the word pandemic, boom, COVID, right? It's top of mind thinking that's exactly what pops in our mind. It wouldn't have before. Maybe another word, social distancing, right? Social distancing, a word that I don't think I'd ever heard the word, like phrase social distancing before. You know, people say, you know, hey, I give me my bubble. You know, I want my little space, but kind of, it's a personal space. It's a preference. It wasn't like, hey, I'd like you to stay 6 feet away from me. Social distancing, right? You know, so it's one of those things that it's like there's these new terms that have popped up as a result of what we've been going through. You could hear things like, you know, quarantine, not a word that we probably thought a whole lot about often before, you know, this had started, or words like Zoom, right? If you have a business or, you know, all kinds of whatever different video technology maybe you had to use at work, you know, Microsoft Teams, whatever it may be, that before you had never really done, and now you hear the word like Zoom, and you're like, I could, if I never have to do another Zoom video the rest of my life, I'd be happy. You know, like that's sometimes how we think about it. You know, oh, I'll give you air hugs, you know, or air high five. You know, things we never did before, because we're just like, no, I'm going to give you a high five, or I'm going to hug you, right? It wasn't like, hey, 6 feet away, air hug. You know, these are all things. And then, as I mentioned, I think the word cancel. I think the definition or the way we see cancel has changed since this pandemic began 10 months ago. Because it's affected our lives, because so much has been canceled, so much has been changed or postponed, or, you know, we'll do it down the road, we'll get to it, you know. And so we hear that word cancel, and we're going to kind of talk about that word today because, again, I want to remind you, the church has not and cannot be canceled. It is not possible, and we're going to talk about that this morning. So again, with so many things being canceled, I think for many people, they just assume, oh, church is canceled. Like, I'll still run into people out on the street, and they'll be like, do you guys have service yet? I'm like, yeah, we've been meeting for like 3 months, or, you know, well, we've been meeting since June, and then we had to take a little break for a couple weeks, but I'm like, yeah, you know, we meet in person. They're like, oh, I thought church was canceled. No, church isn't canceled, and church can't be canceled. Right? The pandemic had put the brakes on many different things we do here at the church and throughout the community, and, you know, even around the world and in our workplaces. It put a pause. Right? We had to take that about 14 or 15 weeks where we didn't meet in person for service. It was all done online, and basically anything outside of the Sunday morning basically got put off to the side, and we weren't able to do those things for that time. You know, things like summer camp were canceled. And then you had things like Minnesota Youth Convention or the Women's Retreat that they still did, but they did it in a one-day virtual setting where you went to a smaller, you know, group instead of being with thousands of people. And so things have changed. There's been challenges that have happened throughout these last 10 months. Again, however, I want to be sure that we're all on the same page with what the Bible says church is and church is not. Just to be clear, God's church has not been, and it never will be, canceled. Even though we've had to do things differently, and who knows, depending on the situation moving forward, we're going to have to continue to be creative. We're going to have to continue to try new and different things to continue to move forward here as a ministry, right? We have to wear masks at church now and different things like that. But if, you know what we say? You know what? Nothing can stop the church of Christ. Nothing can cancel it. So even if we get to a point where we have to move things online again because things get really bad again, or whatever it may be, nothing will stop the church from moving forward. And this is our big idea for this morning. This is the top thing on your handout there if you're going to be filling out your handout this morning. Our big idea that I want us to wrap our minds around this morning is this. The church will never be canceled. The church will never be canceled. And I'm not sure, maybe you're listening or you're watching online and going, maybe this doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And so we're going to unpack this for the next 25 minutes or so this morning. And we're going to start by redefining what the church is really about and what it's not about. Right? The church is not this building. The church is not the worship team. The church is not the pastoral staff here at the church. It's not our volunteers and ministry leaders. That's not the church. Church is not about a single person or anything like that. All of these things are great. All of these things make up different aspects of the church, and God works through these different things to build up the church and to help move the church forward. Right? It's wonderful. We're blessed to have this beautiful building that we get to meet in each and every week. We're blessed to have a worship team like we have each week that leads us into the presence of the Lord. We're blessed to, and I may be biased, but I would say the best staff the world has ever seen as far as pastor. We're blessed in so many different ways. There's no doubt that, as I said, God uses all of these things as a part of the church. But even without them, the church would still continue to move forward. There would still be church. Here's the definition of church that I want us to look at this morning. Again, I believe this is another one of your fill-in-the-blank options that you have there. The church is the people of God living out the mission of God for the glory of God. The church is the people of God living out the mission of God for the glory of God. That's the definition of what Scripture tells us the church is. That's what the church is. It's what it's all about. The people of God living out the mission of God for the glory of God. Right? Again, not about a building, not about a pastor, not about programs or different events or outreaches. Those are all great, and they are important, but they're not the essence of what the church is. Again, the church is the people of God living the mission of God for the glory of God. And it can't be stopped by persecution. It can't be stopped by a pandemic. It can't be stopped by anything. There's nothing that can stop the church from doing the mission that Christ set us out to do in Scripture. Amen. But I don't want you to just take my word for it. As I tell you all the time, don't take what I take as 100% truth. Yes, I do my very best to always, tell the truth and break down Scripture in the way that I believe. But line it up against Scripture. And so this morning we're going to go to Scripture and we're going to look at what Jesus teaches us about the church. And so if you want to open up your Bibles or open up your Bible app on your phone, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16. We'll have it on the screen behind us as well. But Matthew, it's the first book in the New Testament. And so that's what we're going to be starting this morning, is Matthew chapter 16. So the book of Matthew, right, we learn about the story of Jesus' life. We learn about his birth, and his life, his teaching, his miracles, and then eventually we learn about his death and his resurrection. But before we get to the end of Jesus' life, in chapter 16, he had been traveling around with his, band of brothers, his disciples. They were traveling around with him to different places, healing people, performing miracles, doing the awesome stuff that Jesus did. And so his fame was beginning to grow. People knew who Jesus was, and there was a following that was starting to come around Jesus and his disciples. However, Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knew that, hey, this isn't 30 years of ministry that I have. He knew his time was short. He knew what God had sent him to do. He knew that he was headed for the cross. He knew that was where he was heading to. So he wanted to prepare his disciples for what was going to come next. Right? Like any good leader, we want to lead our people by saying, here's what's next. Otherwise people are they're following the blind and they're just like, I don't know what's going on. So Jesus was telling them, this is what's going to happen. This is what's coming in the next, few years and in a certain amount of time. And he wanted them to carry on the mission of God for the glory of God. And so he wanted them to establish the church. So this is kind of where Jesus sets the basis for what church is, what the church is. But he wasn't talking about a building. Again, he wasn't talking about all those other things. We're going to pick it up at verse 13 of Matthew 16. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation this morning for the most part. And so it says this, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and some say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Continuing on, it says, then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Speaking to his disciples, speaking to the people that he had poured into for a couple of years that knew everything about him that he shared with them. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." We're going to stop there for just a moment before we move on. So Jesus, he asked them the simple question, right? Pretty simple question, right? Who do people say I am? Right? If I asked you, who do people say I am? You'd go, that's Pastor Micah, or that's, you know, Micah Reed, or what, you know, whatever you would, you know, but it's not a complicated question. It's a very straightforward question. It says, who do you say I am? And back then, just like it is today, people had a lot of different ideas about Jesus and kind of what his true identity was. As it said there in that passage, a lot of them, they're like, he's one of the Old Testament prophets. He's Elijah. He's Jeremiah. He's one of the prophets. He's John the Baptist, you know, and all these different things. People had different ideas. They thought he was a prophet, a religious leader, as I said. Some people thought he was just crazy. Some people were like, he's just this delusional person. I don't know who he is. So Jesus asked them what they thought about who he really was, which was a really important question for them, but it's also an important question for us today as the body of Christ. Who do you say I am? He asked them. Peter, right? And Peter, he's kind of, I mean, I guess you could say maybe he's like the ragtag leader of the bunch. Right? Peter's kind of the one that leads the disciples at different times. And what's awesome about Peter is Peter was a knucklehead just like I am. Right? Peter, if you look in Scripture, Peter goofed up a bunch of the times. Right? Over and over again, we see examples of Peter goofing up and, you know, just saying things. You know, he denies Christ after he's arrested. You know, Peter just all these things that you're like, Peter, how? And then you're like, oh, wait, I do the same thing. Right? You know? Yeah, but that's Peter. He's kind of the leader. He's the one who answers him. He speaks up and he gives a perfect church answer, the perfect Sunday school answer. But in this case, it happens to be 100% correct. He says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And listen, this is how Jesus responds in the following couple verses. Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon," speaking of Peter, "son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which Peter means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer." Will not conquer it. Right? I love this passage as we're reading here because even though Jesus spoke these words, you know, 2,000 some years ago to Peter and the rest of the disciples in that moment, it's just as relevant today as the day it was that it came out of his mouth when he spoke it to Peter.
That's right.
Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. It's just as relevant. We are still who Christ is working through in the church and the world today, and the power of hell cannot conquer it. Nothing can conquer it.
Amen.
It's especially relevant in the world where a pandemic exists and lots of things are being canceled. There's all kinds of things and excuses. No, nothing can stop the work of Christ.
Amen.
Here are three really important ideas that I believe we can pull out of this passage this morning. And again, these are going to be a couple of the fill in blanks that you have on your hand up there. The first one, number one, it is built by Jesus. The church is built by Jesus. By Jesus. Jesus, what did he say? He didn't say, "You will build my church." He said, "I will build my church." Those were the words Jesus spoke. Which means that this church here at Chisholm Assembly of God and every other church around the world, he is the architect of it. He is the owner. He is the builder of the church. Church has been his idea from the very beginning of church existing. Since it's his church, he has the ultimate authority in the church. Jesus is not going to be deterred from building his church because of bad weather, because of pandemic, because of X, Y, and Z excuse we can come up with. It does not deter Christ from continuing to push the gospel message forward and pushing us to push the gospel message forward. He will continue building his church and fulfilling his mission. So it is Christ that builds the church. Secondly, the church is built through people, right? So Christ builds the church, and then he works through his people to see the church continue to grow and advance as well. So as you see, it says, by Jesus, through people. Back in Matthew 16, when Peter made this confession, or when he answered that question, when Jesus asked him, Jesus made it clear that he would build his church through his people. That's what he was saying. He said, Peter, and the rest of you disciples, and all those who know and follow Christ and confess their faith in him, my church will be built through you. I build the church through you. I will work through you in this process. That includes Peter and the other disciples. That includes you and I today. That if we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, he is building the church through us, through the way we're following Christ and allowing him to be the architect, and we're doing what he's calling us to, being obedient to his leading. Notice that there's nothing mentioned here, right? Jesus didn't say, well, if you have a building, if you have a worship team, if you have a pastoral staff, if you have all these, then the church will be built. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't give that preface. He just says that through my people, the church will be built. Rather, Jesus is talking about the people of God who are living out a mission for God, for the glory of God, as we talked about as our definition of what the church is. And in this passage, actually, if you look at the Greek word used, it's ecclesia, which means God's called out people. God's called out people, or I would say another way, those who have given their heart to the Lord, people that are following Christ. Means that God's called out people. If you have put your trust in Christ as your Lord, then you are part of the ecclesia. You are part of the church, the body of Christ. Even if you're not a part of a local church, it doesn't mean you're excluded from being a part of the body of Christ. It didn't say that my church will be built through a certain denomination or through only those who are members to a church. It says it will be built through my people. This is really important for us to understand. Because as Christians, we have this incredible privilege of being a part of something that's way bigger than you and I are. Way bigger than our church. Way bigger than this area. Right? So much bigger than that. Bigger than the American church. As followers of Christ, we are part of a global movement called the church. Not a church. The church. The people of Christ. Which have been going on since long before you and I were born, and it will continue long after us should God choose to tarry. Jesus is building his church through his people. This is where we're going to get to the passage from Ephesians that we talked about just a little bit ago, the cornerstone. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Christ, the cornerstone. Again, everything is built upon that cornerstone. Your cornerstone isn't concrete. If your cornerstone isn't built upon Christ, it's impossible for us to live all that God is calling us to do as followers of Christ, because when trials and tribulations come and storms of life come and pandemics come and whatever else, you know what's going to happen? It's going to fall over. It'll be like the house that was built on the sand, and it's going to get washed away. But with Christ as our cornerstone that we can be built upon. It says, in him the whole building is joined together. So we're joined together. And it says that he rises us up to become a holy temple in the Lord. right? He builds a church, he builds through the people in the church. Thirdly, it's built to last. The church is built to last, right? We look at history and we look at all kinds of things, and you know, whether it's empires or what, everything seems to, it always has an ending, right? You look at history and you're like, oh, you know, the Romans, you know, were in power from X year to Y year, right? You know, and all these things, and there's, you know, there's ends to it. There is no end to the church until Jesus chooses to come back and take us home to be with him.
Amen.
And then even still, church hasn't really ended, because as followers of Christ, we're all joined together in heaven and rejoicing. But the church is built to last. Look back at the end of that Matthew 16 passage we looked at in verse 18. I'm going to read a portion of that too again, where Jesus said about the church and what could stop it. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. The powers of hell. Everything. The worst thing that could be thrown at the church cannot stop the church. Satan himself cannot stop the church. Right? I mean, there's times where in our flesh we allow him to trip us up and different things. But if we follow God with full abandonment and we're fully obedient to him, there is nothing that can stop the church from moving forward. Not even the gates of hell, or not even the powers of hell can stop it. Right? And I know that as I read that, some people are like, wow, you know, you just said that, you know, that bad word, hell. Well, no, hell's a real thing. It's a real place. But don't miss the significance of what Jesus is talking about here. He is making sure that his people knew that there was absolutely nothing that could stop the church.
Amen.
Right? He didn't say that there's no sickness. He didn't say that there's no pandemic or, like, you know, no earthly thing. He says there is nothing, and even the powers of hell cannot conquer the church. Amen?
Amen.
Right? And so as we read through this, you know, it says that, again, there's nothing that can stop the church. And while we have to deal with things, as I mentioned, you know, pandemics, and, you know, back in the day, they dealt a lot more persecution. Even in our world today, there's people in different countries that deal with persecution, right? And you look at the early church, you look at the apostles, right? The disciples and many of the early Christian leaders. What happened to them? Many of them were put to death. They were martyred for their faith. They dealt with persecution for their faith. If you want to read a little bit more about that, just look at Hebrews chapter 11. It talks all about people from the Bible who you know, were persecuted for their faith, but through that, God's ministry grew and expanded. Those who were responsible for the persecution, right, they were hoping, you know, if we just, you know, maybe if we kill enough of them, or, you know, it'll snuff out the church. The church will stop. You know, the church won't exist anymore. But they could not have been more wrong in their thinking. Persecution did not kill the church. Rather, persecution actually furthered the church. It spread the church. It actually helped to multiply the church. The gospel reached more people as it spread to new places. Just like, as I think about it, you know, as we were online for those 15 weeks or so, a lot of times we would, you know, all our sermons were on Facebook and different things. There were weeks where we would have 1,000 people watch a service. 1,000 people. That wouldn't happen if we were just going through our normal everyday routine of normal life without a pandemic, without quarantine. And I know some of you have shared with me, I know I had high school friends that I haven't talked to in years that couldn't be farther from Christ. But they were watching little snippets. Some of you may ask me a few questions about stuff. You know, God used, even in this pandemic, even in, you know, kind of this moment where we had to not be canceled, we had to go online. God used it to speak and minister to people. Jesus built the church to last, and it was never going to be stopped by persecution in the early days, and it will not be stopped by a pandemic or anything else that comes anymore in our days. Do you realize, as I said, when the pandemic began in March of 2020 last year, churches all over the world had to make that transition. We had to shift to go online, but as I said, there were people that were reached in that kind of short season of time that would never have been reached in any way, shape, or form. Right? And maybe some of them have kind of went back to their normal routine and whatnot, but the reality is seeds were planted. The gospel message went forward, and people heard about the goodness of God and who he is, and had opportunities to respond to a relationship with Christ. Right? God isn't deterred by difficult circumstances. Nothing like that can stop him. Hard as some of these things have been, God uses all this for his purpose to fulfill his mission. The church was built to last.
Amen.
I hope this gives you a better picture of what the church is all about, what the church is. But now that we understand what the church is and what the church is not, the real question is this. What do we do with all this, and how should we respond now? Okay, now if we know what the church is, the church is the people of God, living the mission of God, the glory of God. How do we do that? What does that mean for us today? Well, we've got three ways we can apply it in our lives today. First one is this. Number one, be in church. Be in church. Right? That sounds pretty simple, right? Be in church. Right? We're meeting in person again and these kind of things. And I don't say this as a dig or as something to try to guilt people. I understand there are people with legitimate health concerns and legitimate reasons why, you know what, it's probably not the best idea for them to still be meeting in person. And we understand that, and we're not trying to make you feel as though we're guilting you in any way, shape, or form. But I am here, and I want to say this. I know there are people that the excuse that after 3 months of not coming to church, it just became easier to just no longer come to church anymore. That's the reality. Is for people, as I said, that idea of cancel, that idea of what, it's sunk into many of our minds in different ways. So I want to encourage you and challenge you to be here with us each and every week at church. The reality is that this year, you're going to be busy, right? As activities begin to pick up, you're going to get busy. I guarantee it. Life will happen, and you're going to get busy. And our kids are going to get back into school full time, hopefully. And most people are back to work for the most part. And you know, sporting events are going to start to pick up. There are all these things that sometimes can kind of become a conflict of schedule, a conflict of interest. They're going to begin happening again. So the question is, what are you going to do? Right? And I'm not saying obviously there's work. There are reasons why. Again. People can't be here all the time. I understand that. But there's also a lot of us where we look at the busyness of our life and we go, what's the one thing that we can drop? Well, you know, church is kind of number four or five. So if there's not time for it, you know, so be it. Right? That's reality. And I could have said this before the pandemic that was the case. Right? This isn't something that's new. I want to encourage you, block off this time in your weekly schedule. Make it a priority. Let's not take for granted the incredible privilege we have of being in church together. It's a privilege. It's an honor that we're able to gather together in church. Right? If we lived in some of the countries around the world, we wouldn't have this opportunity. We wouldn't have this privilege to publicly gather together and meet for our faith. Wouldn't have the opportunity to do that. I also understand, as I said, that some of you have health concerns. And again, we understand you need to do what is in your best interest, and we understand that. But I also know, as I said, that's not the case for everybody. And for some, it's simply become an excuse not to meet in person anymore. Second, so one, be in church. Number two, be for church. Not be for, like one word, two words. Be for church. Again, this sounds pretty simple, right? It's this idea, though, but sometimes as Christians, we're known more for what we're against than what we're for. Right? Sometimes Christians can kind of get that rap of, well, you know, I'm against this, and this. And you're like, are you for anything? Is there anything you like? Is there anything that you're excited about in your life? Be for the church. My challenge to you this year is that you would be for the church. Right? For the church, for this church here at Chisholm, but just for the church, for the body of Christ. You can be for the church by showing up, by serving in different areas, by talking highly about the church in your conversations, by inviting people to come to church with you. Right? You can also support your church and be for the church by, you know, praying for our pastoral staff, praying for our ministry leaders that we have, praying for the volunteers who serve in different areas of church, praying for our community that they would come to know Christ, and by encouraging your friends here at church. Sometimes we just need that encouragement or someone coming alongside us and just, you know, hey, I'm proud of you. You know, I see the way that it seems like you're really running after the Lord. Keep it up. I see it. Because sometimes we think, I don't know if anybody notices it. Right? And again, ultimately, is that what matters? No, it's not. God is what matters. But in our flesh, sometimes we need that kind of external push, that external encouragement of like, hey, keep going. Keep doing it. You're doing a good job. Let's be people that are in church. Let's be people that are for the church. And thirdly, let's be the church. Let's be the church together. Remember that church is not a building, a worship team, or a program. The church is a people of God living out the mission of God for the glory of God. If you're a follower of Christ, you are part of the church wherever you may be. Whether you're here, whether you're joining us online, wherever you may be, you are part of the church. But I want to encourage you to be the church. So for our students, be the church in your schools. Be the church in our homes as parents, as grandparents, as spouses, as siblings. Be the church in your home. It may not just be a Sunday morning or whatever time maybe that you think of when you think of church. Be church in your home. Be church on your team, whether it's sports as a student or and your team at work, wherever it may be. Be the church at your job. Be the church in your relationship. Right? As a husband, encourage and lead your wife. As a wife, encourage and help to lead your husband. Right? Be the church in your relationships with one another. Right? How do we do that? We pray for people. We encourage people. We minister to people. We meet the practical needs that people have. We share the gospel. We be a light for Jesus Christ by pointing people to Him no matter where we may be at. Right? That's what it means to be the church. It doesn't have to take place within the four walls of this building here. As a matter of fact, it shouldn't. This should not be the place that the majority of being the church takes place. If that's the case, we're totally missing the point. Be the church. So I hope this morning that you've been encouraged, but also challenged by what we've talked about this morning. It should be really good news to know that the church is never going to be canceled. Right? That's the greatest news we could ever hear, and Christ told us that. He said there's nothing that can cancel. There's nothing that can stop the church. Absolutely nothing. Right? The church is the people of God living out the mission of God for the glory of God. It was built by Jesus, He built it through people, and He built it to last.
Amen.
So here's one quick thing I want to close with this morning. In light of what we've talked about today, how do you need to respond personally? And for those of you who are already followers of Christ, already have a relationship with Him, already are a part of the church, I hope that you'll take up this challenge to be in church, to be for the church, and to actively be the church this year and continuing to move forward. If you've not yet put your hope and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do so today. You can become part of the church by doing what Peter did. What did Peter do? He confessed that Jesus was his Lord. He said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." If that's something you'd like to do, I would love to talk to you following service today, or if you're joining us online, I would love to talk to you, whether you message us through Facebook, call the church, whatever. I would love to have a conversation with you or Pastor Bethany or my wife, any of us here at the church would love to have a conversation with you about that decision, about maybe you have questions about it, and we would love to just follow up with you. And again, this morning, we're going to close out our message by watching a short video that has two questions I want each of us to reflect on this morning as we get ready to head out this morning. So go ahead with that last video, Angie. These are the questions that each of us have to answer today. If Jesus asked you, "Who do you say I am?" how would you respond? Would you respond like Peter did? And say, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Right? And you profess your faith in Him. Or would you maybe be like a lot of the people in that day and age, or even today, they're like, "I don't know, he was a good guy. Maybe he was a prophet from the Old Testament, or I don't really have any thought on who he is." Right? Who do you say he is? Who do you say Jesus is? And I want to encourage you, if you do not respond by saying, He's the Messiah, the Son of the living God, again, I want to encourage you, please reconsider and please say, you know what? I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about this. Or maybe you're ready to make that decision, ready to make that profession to give your heart to the Lord. And secondly, what would it mean for you to be the church this year? What would that mean for you? What would it look like for you to actively be the church this year? Right? And I want to encourage you, ask God. He'll give you ideas. He'll give you thoughts. He'll give you ways that you can, and I, we can actively be the church. We can be the church in our home. We can be the church in our relationship. We can be the church in our workplace. Wherever we may be, we can be the church there. Because what is the church? The church is the people of God on the mission of God to the glory of God. That's what the church is. And so I want to close this out in prayer this morning. Father, can we thank you? That God, we can look to your word each and every week. And that God, in your word, it is truth. And you tell us, as we've been reminded again this morning by looking at the passage in Matthew 16 and looking at in Ephesians chapter 2, that God, you built the church. It's not a man-made thing. It's not something that, you know, somebody just came up with. You started the church. You built the church. And you built it so that the kingdom of God can continue to grow and advance through your people. You built the church, and it works through the people, and you've built it to last. That there's nothing in this world, there's nothing, period, there's nothing, even the powers of hell, cannot stop the church from moving forward. And so, God, we just pray that in this season, God, as we're still in this pandemic, God, that despite maybe all the, you know, how overwhelming it can be, and discouraging it can be, and how lonely people may feel, and you know, how people may be hurting because maybe it's affected them financially or in other ways. God, we just pray that, God, as you have throughout all of time, that we'll continue to do, God, that again, through this, your church would grow. Your church would expand. Your church would continue to move forward in and through this time. Because, God, we know that you work all things out for the good of those who love you. And so, God, I just pray that, God, you would continue, Lord, to work in and through each of us. God, that we would be in church, part of fellowship, a part of the ecclesia, part of being together with the body of Christ. I pray that we would be for the church. We would be encouraging about church. We would be excited about church. We would be lifting one another up and encouraging and helping one another. And God, I pray that you would help us to actively live out being the church, which means being Christ with skin on. God, being a light and a beacon of hope everywhere we go, because God, hope has a name, and the name is Jesus. And we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth so that we can have hope, that we can have faith, that we can have trust, that we can have confidence, that we can have certainty in who you are and the plans that you have for your church and for your people. So God, we just thank you again for this time that we could gather together this morning. Just pray that as we go out now, God, and as we look to you to help us to see how can we be the church, how can we be for the church, how can we be actively in the church. God, I just thank you for what you're going to share and speak and put into our minds and hearts. And I pray, God, you continue to equip, enable, and just push us forward, God, to be the church of Christ, to chisel the iron range and around the world. We love you, we praise you, we adore you, we give ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.